Shall we?
Yes, sir.
Today we are going to learn about God's forget me not. Or I should say forget him not. L'chaim. David HaMelech, King David, after having publicly proclaimed that if not for the Torah, he would have been overwhelmed and inundated by his enemies, and he wouldn't have made it. He says, La'olam le'eshkach pikudecha, I will never forget your mitzvahs. You know why? Kivam chiyisoni, because in them or with them I have lived. So, in order to understand this verse, I'm going to share with you the words of the Medrash Tilim, and then we're going to spend some time unpacking the words of the Medrash Tilim. But let me just read them to you straightforwardly. The Medrash Tilim says, La'olam le'eshkach pikudecha, I will never forget your commandments. Heim chayim li'Yisrael, the commandments, the mitzvahs, they are life for Israel. Alu lehi le'hoyachayim, if not for them, there would be no life. V'chein hu eimer, and this is also what is meant when he says, and this now he refers to the verses found in the book of Deuteronomy, ki hu chayecha, because it is your life. And then he goes on to refer to verses from Proverbs, v'chsiv ki moitzai motza chayim, those who find me find life. And a little later, in the next chapter in Proverbs, it says, ki vi yirbu yomecha, in me your days will increase, v'yasifu lecha shneis chayim, and days or years of life will be added to you. What does this medrash mean? So I'm going to begin our analysis by taking a look at the Radak. Rabbeinu David Kimchi says, La'olam, forever. And he says, Chiyasani, the verse finishes off, for I have lived. And Radak maintains that this is a continuation of verse 92. Previously we said, Lulei saras chashashuai, if not for the Torah having been my delight, azavadati, then I would have been lost. So, in other words, here he emphasizes what would have happened if not for the Torah, I couldn't make it. As we talked about this last week, having meaning in life and having a focus on life. So he says, in verse 93, la'olam le'eshkach, so I can never forget your mitzvahs. Why? Because I understand, kivom chiyusani, that through them life comes. And just as azavadati, just as I said in the previous verse, I would have been lost. So not only was I not lost, not overwhelmed by what was negative, but now in a positive sense, I'll never forget it. Kivam chiyisani. Not only was I not overwhelmed, not only was I not lost, but through them I found life. So this is kind of, and I'm just saying this on my own, maybe paraphrasing like David HaMelech says much earlier, Sur meira v'aseh tov. First we go away from evil, turn away from evil, and then do good. So the famous metaphor which is brought in Hasidic teaching is, if you want to redecorate your home, first clean it. We take out the filth, then you bring in the new wallpaper, then you lay the new floor. But simply to paper over dirt or filth is pointless. So first clean whatever it is, and then you can apply the cosmetics, then you can make it appropriate, make it nicer and better. Verse 92 then deals with what would have happened if not. It's almost like in a negative sense, he's ruling it out. I would have been overwhelmed. I held on to your Torah. And verse 93 goes beyond that. Not only would I have been overwhelmed, not only would I have lost it, but I keep it because of your mitzvahs. It's perhaps like 92, verse 92 speaks of survival. I survived because of your Torah. And verse 93 speaks about flourishing. So I survived, and not only I survived, verse 92, but furthermore, verse 93, I even flourished. And maybe this is what the meaning of the Medrash Tilim is. Heim chayim li'Yisrael. They are life for Israel. Alu le'yi, if not for them, le'hoyachayim. Now why David HaMelech begins with la'olam le'eshkach, I'll never forget, we'll talk about in a few moments. So this is one approach. Another approach is in the Mitzudas David, which I think is a little more forward. He says, Ba'avur shmiras hapikudim, it is because of keeping those mitzvahs, nasata lichayim, Not only did the keeping of mitzvahs and the maintaining of values enable me to overcome my enemies, maintain my sanity, and not be overwhelmed, but furthermore, I understand that it's because of the mitzvahs you gave me life. So mitzvahs are not only a safeguard against that which is evil and bad and harmful, but the mitzvahs are actually my ultimate purpose. That's why I was given life. And because that's why I was given life, le'ilam le'yeshkach, how could I forget that? The Sefarno, he says that it is from the Torah and its mitzvahs that life actually comes. This is where a yid gets life from. He goes further. He doesn't just say this is a question of the reason for life, like the Mitzvot David says. He doesn't only put it as Radak says, I would have been overwhelmed, but because of your Torah, not only am I not overwhelmed, but I'm able to live. He says it is the source of life itself. And really and truly, the Sefarno evokes the later verses, which the Medrash Tilim says, which are the verses of Ki Hu Chayecha, for it is your life, and the verses of Ki Moitzei Motza Chayim, when through you I find life. So let's take a look at the words of the actual Torah. It's in Deuteronomy 32. And here, Moshe Rabbeinu, in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, which is Parshas Hazino, he says, Vayoymer aleihem, he says to them, Simu levavchem l'chol advarim. I want you to place your heart to all these things that I'm commanding you, that I'm bearing testimony with regard to today. And he says, it's all lishmer lasis is called divrei ha-Torah hazeis. You should keep and do this whole Torah. So the question is, what does it mean, lishmer lasis? It doesn't even say lishmer vilasis. It says keep, do. So what does keep, do mean? So the Aderes Aliyo says, lishmer means to review the Torah, lishanin. And then lasis means to do it. Now, if you know a little bit of background with regard to Torah study, the concept of lishanein, which means to learn repetitively, is all about memory. That's how you commit things to memory, repeating it. So it's repeated, it's learned again and again and again. Once upon a time, they would learn it 101 times. 100 times everybody, the Eved Elikim, the one who really wanted to serve Hashem, he would go beyond the call of duty, learn 100 the first time. But repetition is what enables a person to remember. You learn it once, it's in the one ear, out the other. That's why you have to repeat Torah lessons constantly. In fact, there's a very, very harsh expression based on these verses in the Mishnah that says that if a person forgets the Torah that he studied, they don't deserve to live. Seems a little bit harsh because he forgot the Torah. I mean, people forget. So the Mefarshim say it means ad sheyesev yasidim elibam. The Mishnah goes on to say till you force it out of your heart. Force it? Who forces words of Torah out of their mind? Who wants to forget the Torah? And the answer is you didn't want to, but negligence does not absolve you. So if you're negligent about something, you're going to be held responsible and culpable. And where's the negligence? You didn't review. You have to constantly review if you want to be able to maintain. In other words, we see from the Medrash Tilim, as the Sefarno also elaborates, that this idea of La'ilam le'eshkach is linked back to Moshe Rabbeinu's exhortation to the Jewish people on the last day of his life. And there when he says Lishmer Lasais, he emphasizes the importance of committing to memory. So David HaMelech says then, La'olam le'eshkach, I'll never forget. But interestingly, he doesn't say I'll never forget because I review it or I repeat it. He says, I'll never forget, ki vamchi yisoni, for in them comes life. So he doesn't seem to be talking about the Lishmer Lasais. And that takes us into verse 47 of the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, where it says, Ki lo yidavar reku mikem. There is nothing empty here. Ki hu chayechem. It is your life. Ki hu chayechem. So very interestingly, on the words, Ki hu chayechem, it is your life, the Vilna Gaon in the Deres Aliyo says that every word of Torah actually gives life in the afterlife and arichos yomim, length of days, in olam hazeh, in this world. And I think he chooses his words very carefully because we know sometimes a person learns a lot of Torah and does not live long. And there's no guarantee of a long life. And the Gemara already discusses these mitzvahs for which were promised long life and bears testimony to the fact that there were people who performed these mitzvahs in a meticulous fashion and did not live a long life. And the Gemara's simple answer is that it talks about a long life in the afterlife. But it says here, life. It says you're getting life. Yuchayechem. You're getting life. It doesn't say the afterlife. So the Der El Celio says, Arichas Yamin, length of days. What does that mean, length of days? You have to have a long day. Every day is 24 hours. You can't lengthen your days. Try as you might. What does it mean, length of days? It means quality. Quality of life. You live a life that's filled with quality. So, really and truly, when you're having fun, as they say, time flies. When it's miserable, time seems to drag on inexorably forever. But the truth is that a person can go through life dealing with issues and problems, swatting away obstacles. You don't really get to appreciate life because you're just so busy staying alive or dealing with all kinds of negativity that you don't actually get to appreciate and enjoy the life that Hashem gives you. And sometimes a smaller amount of time can be much more valuable and appreciated than a lot of time, because it depends what the quality of the time is like. This is what people in today's day and age call quality of life. Unfortunately, with this terminology, people want to advance what they call mercy, which is also called murder in the Torah. They call it mercy. Oh, I feel so bad, this person's suffering, let me end the life for them. And they want to end the life. Yeah, that's called suicide. So really, the Torah says, you're not supposed to check out, you know. And say, I'm off this train. I don't like the neighborhood we're traveling through, so I'm going to leave. Well, we don't have really the right from Hashem to just get off the train whenever we decide. He'll take us off that train when he decides. And if it's going through a dreary neighborhood, what are you going to do? That's the will of Hashem. We can't do anything about that. Having said that, a person could pray for and a person could hope for quality of life. There was a chassid, his name was Rabbi Kosiel Lepler. He was a person who dedicated his life to the study of Chassidus in a remarkable way. He wasn't necessarily such a brilliant person. But when you talked to him in Chassidus, he was like a genius. Why? Because it was so important that he invested every ounce of wherewithal to the point that he actually developed a certain genius for this area of Torah. So the Alter Rebbe wanted to give him a bracha with Arichas Yamin for a long life. So he said to the Alter Rebbe, yeah, okay, aber nicht kein poetisch Yod. Don't give me peasant years. What does it mean, peasant years? You have eyes, you can't see godliness. You have ears, but you can't hear words or understand Torah. In other words, he said, I don't want to be sitting in an old folks' home looking out the window, out of my mind. If I'm alive, I want to be using that time well. Now, we don't get a choice. But if Alter Rebbe was offering a bracha, Rebbe Kosiel Lepler said, if you want to give me a bracha, that's nice, but let me just tell you what bracha I'm looking for. He says, I want quality of life. That's what I'm asking for. Alter Rebbe initially wanted to bless him with wealth, and actually he demurred. He said, he doesn't want that blessing. I said, why not? He said, because wealth is going to get in my way of Torah study. Invariably, money has a way of clouding the horizons. I don't want that. This is what life's about for me. So when we talk about quality of life, it's the Torah that provides us with quality of life. And this could be understood in a very literal way. The Sepharno seems to frame it in a very literal way. He says that a person actually derives life. And we'll see how this unfolds a little bit later. Now, I want to go back to the Medrash, because we started with the Medrash, and I want to suggest that really all of the Mefarshim are speaking in the voice of the Medrash. It's only each one explains the Medrash in a slightly different way, or the Medrash is diffused through the Radak, the Metzudas, and the Sepharno, perhaps you could say in three different ways. So the way the Radak diffuses the Medrash, the way he explains its light, he says, La'ilum li'eshkach, heim chayim li'Yisrael. So before David HaMelech spoke, he says, Lul Yisrael shashui, azavati, I would have been lost. But now, le'ilum li'eshkach, why le'ilum li'eshkach? Because keheim chayim. In other words, it's not a uniquely Davidic thing that David delighted in Torah, so it enabled him to survive. But in truth, this is what life's about. Right, I didn't die. Why didn't I die? Because this is life. So when I have the mainstay of life in place, even if things are not exactly as I hoped them to be, but the primary, the foundational, the most important, that was there. The purpose of life, the focus of life, what life's about, this was clear. And therefore, Allah Yochayim, without this, there wouldn't be life. So that's how David HaMelech could live. But everything else is missing. He says, yeah, that's true. Everything else is missing. But that's not what life's about.
But isn't it also a choice? You can choose to be grateful for everything.
To a degree. To a degree, you can choose how to live life. There are people who have lots of everything and they're miserable. There are people who have little of anything and they're grateful. Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about that. Right? That's the teaching of Pasach Eliyahu. Eliyahu Hanavi says, depends how you look at it. We have a Torah perspective. The Torah is supposed to refine our perspective and elevate the way we look at life so we appreciate what life has. We appreciate the gifts that Hashem gives to us, which incidentally is kind of connected to Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, the 15th day of Shvat, right? Making blessings on fruits and appreciating the delicacies, the delights of life. That's why we have different brachas for different things. So we appreciate what Hashem gives us instead of just assuming, well, give me the grub, thank you, God. So no. Hashem made different things. So I appreciate those different things. So this is one way of understanding it. It's loimati. You know, like the way Radak puts it? I didn't die. Loyavarti, loimati. Why loimati? Because this is what life's about. I knew what life's about. If I knew what life's about, I have a reason to stay alive. As we talked about in our previous class. Now, the Mitzudais understands this medrash, the opening volley of the medrash, quite literally. He says, Heim chayim li Yisrael, alu lehi lehoya chayim. A Yid understands. This is why I was given life. Why did Hashem put me on planet Earth? To enjoy fame and fortune? What was I born for? What is life about? Now, if a person asks themselves a regular question, what am I living here for? Why am I here? Why did Hashem put me here? Number one, you're already pre-assuming or presupposing that I'm not an accident, that the world didn't somehow randomly explode itself into existence, that I am not a cosmic mistake or the result of a domino effect, some several trillion effects later of something that went wrong or something that randomly happened, but rather that Hashem choreographs everything, put everything into existence and everything into motion. And here I am, and God cares about me, and He wants something from me. I wonder what might that be? You think He wants me to enjoy life? Maybe. Do you think He wants me to enjoy fame? Maybe. Do you think it's all about me? You think God just put me here so I could have fun? Yeah, I don't think so. So why did God put me here? I mean, there's got to be a bigger purpose than just me having fun. And this leads a person on the path of say, okay, let me look in the Torah. Let me read the owner's manual. Let me find out why the Creator says He created the world and what role I have to play in making that goal a reality, in bringing it to fruition, which is Dira B'Tachtonim, a dwelling place for Hashem. And how does that happen? We, the Jewish people especially, and in a larger sense, all of humankind, are tasked with the responsibility of making this world a holy and a godly place. And that's what the mitzvahs are about. And through the mitzvah, we forge and nurture a relationship with God, and we make this world the way it was supposed to be. So all of humanity has mitzvahs, because all of humanity is created in God's image, because all of humanity is expected to play a role, and the soul of a Yid is uniquely designed to be able to nurture a more profound and a deeper relationship, which comes not just through seven general mitzvahs, but through 613 detailed mitzvahs, and the rest, as they say, is history. That's the story of our nation. That's what we're doing here. So that's how the Mitzudas David takes, that's where he takes his cue from. Heim chayim li Yisrael. But it seems to me that the Sefarno wants to go further. The Sefarno wants to say that the Medrash also sends us off to Parshas Hazinu, where it says, ki hu chayechem. It is your life itself. Uvadavar hazeh tarichu yamim. It's this thing that's going to give you length of days. And the Medrash also sends us off to the book of Mishlei. And I want to take a moment to look inside the book of Mishlei and see what it's referring to there. In the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 35, the scripture says, Shlomo HaMelech says, Ki moitz'i motza chayim. Find me, you'll find life. V'yafik ratzim Hashem. And then you're able to bring forth will from God. The Alkut Shemoni says, Kol mi shemotzi b'divrei Torah, ani motzi loy. You're found in words of Torah, I'll be found there for you. In other words, like, don't forget me, I'll remember you. I once heard a story that a chassid said l'chaim to the fifth Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab. And he said, Rebbe, l'chaim, the Rebbe shouldn't forget me. So the Rebbe said to him, if you won't forget me, I won't forget you. In other words, God says, I want God to remember me. Oh, God will remember me. Do you remember God? Ashrei mi eshaleish kecheko. You say, fortunate person doesn't forget God. God remembers us. You know when He remembers us? When we remember Him. We have to remember Him. And that's what the Alkut Shemoni says, Meitzoi, find me, Matzachayim, you'll find life. God is life. V'yofek ratzon, and you draw forth life from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting, the Medrash doesn't stop here at Proverbs 8. It takes us to Proverbs 9. And there, verse 11, it says, so what happens if I find God? Okay, very nice, I found God. And there was in the early 70s, the Jews for Jay, Yimach Shemam, they put out an ad to try to ensnare Jewish souls with their lies and deceit, that you could be a good Jew by being a Christian. It's not true. I have nothing against Christian missionaries. You want to missionize, you want to promulgate, to promote your own faith, no problem. But not with lies and deceit. Don't tell Jewish people who are drinking Kool-Aid, who are clueless, that this is meaning of being a Jew. No, this means to abandon Judaism. Tell the people straight, in doing nothing about your Judaism, why don't you abandon it? That doesn't work very well. Because when the Yid hears abandoning Judaism, all of a sudden he gets his back up. I don't want to abandon Judaism. So what did he tell him? No, this is Judaism. But it's not. It's a rejection of Judaism. So anyway, so they had these big things. I found it. Big billboards across the night. I found it. And it was like a specific, it had like Jewish colors, and like, I found it. And it was like everybody got the buzz going. And then I found Yashka and so on and so forth. So there was a Lubavitcher Chassid who opened an organization called Jews for Judaism, also Jews for J. Right? How did he counter this ad? He countered the ad by writing, "We never lost it." same letters, same font, same style, same color. We never lost it. So okay, Moitz'i Motzachaim. You find me, God says. You find life. Very nice. Okay, find me, find life. So what does that mean? So later on, a little bit later, in the next chapter, in chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "Ki vi yirbu yomecha," because in me, your days will increase. Yirbu yomecha. "Vi yisifu l'chosh neschaim," and your life, you'll have years added to your life. So this actually seems to be redundant. It says, "Vi yirbu yomecha," your days will increase. And then it says, "Vi yisifu l'chosh neschaim," and it'll be added to you years of life. What is the point of, you could either use the terminology of years, of days or years. Yirbu and yisifu, increasing and adding, it's just like, sounds like half a dozen in one hand, six in the other hand. Why would the pasuk repeat itself? So Rashi, and I think this is what bothers Rashi, says he only transcribes the words v'yisifu l'chosh neschaim, and he says, shanim shel chaim, years of life. What are they? Heim shel parnasa v'osher. This is of prosperity and affluence. And of course, for what does Hashem give a Yid prosperity and affluence for? Say, you should learn to serve Hashem. As the Maggid of Mizrich once said, a klein lechel in guf, meint a grois loch in neshama. A little hole in the body, a little crevice in the bodily reality, creates an enormous cavity, chas v'shalom, in the neshama. If a person is busy staying alive, or heaven forfend, dealing with illness, he can't serve Hashem properly. If he doesn't have enough money to put bread on his table, how will he give tzedakah? How will he buy tefillin? How will he have an esrog? How will he buy mezuzahs? You need ability, wherewithal. You need material wherewithal. The Torah says in Bechukos Teilechu, if you walk in my statutes, the es mitzvos tishmaru, keep my mitzvahs, Hashem says, I'll give you. What will I give you? I'll give you rainfall, and I'll give you abundant produce, and a great harvest. And the famous question, everybody says, something is incompatible. We have this notion that there's no reward for mitzvah in this world. And yet, the Torah itself seems to say that there is great reward in this world. The Torah itself details the kind of prosperity we'll receive. So Rambam has what I would say, in my humble opinion, the simplest, most straightforward way of explaining this. He says, the reward of material plenty is not an end in itself, it's a means. It's a means. Really, what the Mishnah says is, of course, 100% accurate. The Mishnah says, schar mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah, meaning the value of a mitzvah, is a mitzvah. There's nothing as valuable as a mitzvah. And as Chassidus explains it, a mitzvah means connection. What's the most powerful reward for a mitzvah? The connection you have. When people invest time in getting to know their grandchildren, what kind of reward are they expecting? So the grandchildren will take care of them someday? They want to have a relationship with the grandchildren. That is the greatest reward. Talk to parents who have a little baby, and they change this baby, they diaper him, and they change him, and they bathe him, and then they get a smile, a recognition. And your whole world lights up. The baby recognized me. It's the greatest thing. What is the fruits of the efforts? The relationship itself. It's like, imagine a spouse will say, why should I be nice to my spouse? What are they going to do for me? Is that what it is? What are they going to do for me? The hard work, and it is hard work, that we put into making a marriage work is the marriage itself. The marriage is the reward. Not what are you going to do for me? How much are you going to pay me if I make you dinner? How much are you going to pay me if I take care of you? How much are you going to pay me? Is that how it goes? It's about the relationship. The same thing with mitzvahs. What's the reward of a mitzvah? The reward of a mitzvah is the mitzvah, the relationship with Hashem. But if you don't have material plenty, how are you going to have that? You'd be too bogged down with just trying to stay alive, keep your head above water. So this is the idea. That's what Rashi says. Yasifu l'cha shneis chayim, I'll add years of life, means shonim shel chayim, years of life, means years of quality, years in which I'm able to have the wherewithal. It's not about money. So the point is very clear that for us, where does actual life come from? Actual life comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how does it come? Through his mitzvahs. The mitzvahs bring us life. You did a mitzvah, you'll get more life so that you can do more mitzvahs. So it actually is not just the reason for life. It's not just something which gives us mission and purpose so that we should be able to live because I know why I'm living. It actually gives us life. The Sephardim has an interesting take on this also. He adds that even though the nations of the world tried to persecute us and did everything they could to sever our relationship, bond, and connection to God, we were able to persevere. Why? Through the mitzvahs. Through the mitzvahs. The people say to me, it's so important to be Jewish. How important? Tell me how important it is. And how do you intend to make that work? Because the answer is really one thing. Torah mitzvahs. There is no other answer. That's Yiddishkeit. So they try to take us away from Yiddishkeit, and we cling to the Torah mitzvahs. And that's what fosters our relationship with God. So with regard to this notion, there's an interesting comment from the Sha'arei Chaim, who says that this pasuk, he says, kind of Sha'arei Chaim takes the approach of the Sephardim a little bit. He says, it refers to Shas HaShmad, to a time in which the nations of the world were trying to forcibly turn us away from Judaism, whether convert us to another faith or simply stamp at our faith, atheism, which is even uglier, even worse. And he says, Gazru Hagoyim Shmad al Yisrael, our enemies decreed against the Jewish people to stamp out their faith, to abandon their faith. Shulayis Asku B'Torah. And when is the official Shas HaShmad in the writing of our sages, in the literature, in Talmudic literature, the Shas HaShmad is the post-temple era. The post-temple era where the Jewish people began to flourish, and then things got really bad again. Then things got really bad. The Romans tried to persecute us. They tried not only to destroy our national pride, they tried actually to stamp out the Jewish religion. So they wanted to destroy us materially, but also spiritually. And during that time, which is what is proverbially known as Shas HaShmad, although it's unfortunately, it serves as a background and an example for other times in history, how we should behave, Rabbi Akiva was gathering great crowds, congregating people and teaching them Torah. And there was a Jew who had become attenuated from his faith. His name was Pappas. Pappas, yeah, like a Roman name. But his father had a Jewish name. Pappas, the son of Yehuda. And Pappas came to Rabbi Akiva and he said, Akiva, what are you doing? What are you doing, Akiva? You're crazy. They're going to kill you. And they did kill him in the end. So Rabbi Akiva responded to Pappas and he said, let me tell you a story. A lot of times, some of the profoundest ideas are conveyed through a story. What's the story? You all know the story. It's a famous narrative. In the parable, there's this fox who has a conversation with the fish. Mm-hmm. And he sees the fish who are swimming with great anxiety hither and thither. And he says, come on, what's going on with you guys? You don't seem at all at peace. Aren't fish supposed to be tranquil and peaceful? And they said to him, we're afraid. Of what, says the fox? Of the fisherman's nets. Because if the fisherman catches us, then it's over. So the fox said, why don't you leave the sea, leave the water, and come on dry land? There are no fisherman's nets here. To which the fish responded, foolish fox, if we leave the water, then we die automatically. Here we may be caught or not, But while we're in the water, we're alive. If we leave, then this is our place of life. If we leave there, then there is nothing left. There's no hope at all. And in the end, Rabbi Akiva was arrested. And guess who he met in prison? He met Pappas. Mm-hmm. Pappas was also arrested. You know why Pappas was arrested? A smuggler. Cheating on taxes. And Pappas, with great sadness and brokenheartedness, looked at Rabbi Akiva and he said, I wish I was you. He said, Ashrecha, how fortunate are you, shenitfasta al divrei Torah. You're sitting here because you taught Torah, and I'm sitting here because I'm a smuggler. Neither made it. But why did Rabbi Akiva die? For what did he die? What was the memory he left on that lingers on for eternity of who Rabbi Akiva was? And all we know of, we only know Pappas because he tangled with Rabbi Akiva. We don't know Pappas as a, he didn't do anything great. So the Shara Chaim says that's the meaning of this pasuk. They try to make us forget. They will never succeed. And he says, David HaMelech here speaks in the voice of loyal Jewish people in times of great turmoil when he says, La'olam le'eshkach pikodecha. We will never forget. Why? Because we recognize and understand and know, ki vamchi yisani. That's our source of life. That's our source of life. And without Torah mitzvahs, we're left. We are bereft and left with nothing. Now, I want to return to the opening volley here of the opening volley of La'olam le'eshkach. I'll never forget. But before I do that, the preface to what I'm going to tell you is I want to share with you a teaching of the Alshech. Because the Pasuk says, La'olam le'eshkach, and it says the word ki. I will never forget because. Because. What's the because? What's the emphasis here on because? So the Alshech says like this. I am 100% certain that I will never forget. How could you be so certain? How could you be certain you will never forget? He says, you know why I'm certain? Because shabam chiyusani. Because that's how you've given me life. You gave me life through this mitzvah. I don't forget life. He says, look in the previous pasuk. And Alshach says, that's why verse 92 comes first. I know that when things were so bad, the only thing that I held on to, the only hope I had, the only thing that gave me life was the mitzvahs, your Torah. So he says, I know this already. And when they were chasing me and I had the fear of death before my eyes, the only way I was able to survive against all rhyme and reason, statistics, and laws of nature was only because of the Torah. So he says, so I understand that it's because of the Torah mitzvahs that I'm able to live. I understand that's my reason for life. So if you know that your life depends on this, you don't forget it. You know, they say, how many times can a man forget his wife's birthday? Answer is only once. Either he won't be alive after, or she'll never let him live it down. He'll never forget it again. Right? So things are really important. We remember them, and that's where we get frustrated. Guess what do you want? I forgot. Why is she angry you forgot? Anybody could forget, but what could you forget? The things that are not important to you. And the Alshech says, David HaMelech, through his experiences and through the most difficult times, he realized that this is where life is. And that's why he says, La'ilam, it's impossible for me to forget. Because when you will know this is life, where life is from, how could you forget it? This beautiful story told that a chassid came to the Chiddush Harim. And he said to the, he says, Rebbe, give me advice. How can I remember the Torah? I keep forgetting everything. So the Chiddush Harim said, tell me, did you ever forget how to eat? Did you ever stick a spoonful of food into your ear? So the chassid started laughing. He said, of course not. He says, why? He says, because life depends on eating. That's why. You didn't forget to eat. You didn't forget how to eat. Don't forget the Torah. Now, the words of the Chiddush Harim are actually not original. He put them in a creative way. He said, did you ever put, you know, a spoonful of food in your ear? But these words really come from the Ri Chiyun, the Rebbe of the Abarbanel, who lived many hundred years before. He was the leader, the Torah leader, in Lisbon, in Portugal, before the Abarbanel, who was the last great Torah leader there, before the Inquisition. So Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chiyun, he says that the meaning of Le'eshkach, why will I not forget? And why does David Melch start off by saying Le'eshkach? Why didn't he say Ani Ezker, I'll remember? He says, no. He emphasizes Le'eshkach. Do you know why he says? He says, because this shows how much we cherish the Torah. I cherish it so much, he says. It's kol kach chaviva olai. It's so dear to me. it's impossible to forget it. Kishem shalei eshkach mezoini. Just like I won't forget to eat. I won't forget to eat. He says, I won't forget to eat, so too I won't forget the Torah. That's the meaning of la'il me'eshkach. Because I understand why, ki, because bom toli chiyusi, in it, my life depends. And because I know my life depends on it, how can I forget it? It's like forgetting to eat. Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chiyun says elsewhere, this is in his commentary on Tillim, but in his commentary on Masechet Avot, which I also referenced before, the idea of forgetting Torah, not forgetting Torah, right? So there, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chiyun wrote a commentary on the Pirkei Avos as well. He says that in a person's worst of times, in the end, nobody forgets to eat. Nobody just forgets to eat till they starve. There's no such thing. At some point, you'll remember you're hungry. You've heard stories of people who aren't eating and people are worried about them. You have to get them to eat. And I've heard people say, leave him. Leave him, he'll eat. He'll eat. Trust me, he'll eat. Now, it's true that sometimes people can become malnourished and become ill because they're not eating. But nobody dies of starvation by mistake. It's not humanly possible. We remember to eat. And so Rabbeinu Yitzchak said, the Torah is like our food. Kivam chiyusani, it's your food, you don't forget to eat. If you don't forget to eat, you shouldn't forget to learn Torah. Same thing. You just don't realize that that's where your life is from. That's the problem. The reason we forget is because we don't realize it. Should we realize it? Would we understand? We wouldn't forget it. Ayelas Ahuvim adds a beautiful nuance to this. And he says, a baby is nourished through his mother's milk. And the baby actually becomes what his mother is. The baby is not only nurtured by his mother in her own body for 9 months, which is why being Jewish comes from our mother, because that's really who we are. The father kickstarted a process. It did nothing. You are your mother. You're a piece of your mother. The connection we have with our mothers is unbreakable. Our mother carried us. Our body, our physical existence is an extension of our mother. So our mother carried us, and then our mother fed us. And most of us were breastfed. And when your mother feeds you with her milk, the Gemara says, Masha ime echeles, that's what the child eats. It's basic science today. And that's why we have this idea that the manna didn't taste like certain foods, because it wouldn't be good for the babies. And nursing mothers are supposed to avoid eating certain foods. So the mother's body actually produces milk from the things that she's nourished by. So the Ayelus Ahuvim says, just like the child absorbs everything from his mother, so for example, when a woman is not well, she has a cold or the flu, and she's taking antibiotics, and the baby is sick also, they say the baby doesn't need antibiotics separately. As long as being breastfed, it'll get the antibiotics through the mother's milk. So the Ayelus Ahuvim says, Hanena min ha-Torah, a person who is nourished by the Torah, absorbs Torah. And what is the nature of Torah? It's eternal. You absorb eternity. And when you absorb Torah, you absorb eternity, which this goes back to the original verse, Ki vi yirbu yamecha. Yirbu yamecha refers to length of days, is not referring to additional days. That refers to Elam Haba, or going back to the Pasuk in Devarim, Ki hu chayechem. So Aderes Eliyahu said, the eternity doesn't stay in this world. What's eternal about this world? Everything in this world is evanescent. Everything in this world is passing. There's only one thing that is eternal in this world that nobody can ever take away from you. You know what that is? The mitzvahs you do. Your soul is not from this world, but the mitzvahs are from this world. The story is told that Queen Victoria once asked Moses Montefiore for an accounting of how much he was worth. And he said, give me a few days. And he came back to her with a number. And she flew into a rage, because there was no way that that number equaled the wealth of Sir Moses Montefiore. She had him arrested for lying to the queen. And after he languished in prison for a few days, he was brought before the queen. And the queen said, how could you lie to me? How could you tell me the story that that's what you're worth? I know you're worth many, many, many times this number. Did you think that I don't have the ways to know how much you're worth? He said, you didn't ask me how much money I had. You asked me what I'm worth. I'm worth? He said, the calculation I gave you is the money I gave to Tzedakah. The money I gave to Tzedakah, that nobody can ever, ever take away from me. The Torah you studies is yours forever. The mitzvahs you do is yours forever. everything else in the material world, here today, gone tomorrow. I once met a mother years ago. I don't even remember who she is, but she knew me. I was shopping in the store one of these late night shoppings, which I try because then people aren't there, so nobody hucks me in cup. I can get shopping there faster. And then if I'm going there today, I have tefillin with me. It's like every aisle I'm putting on tefillin with somebody. So I go out at night, like it's a quiet time usually. And this woman stopped me, and she started to cry and tell me about her sorrow and sorrows. I guess she recognized me. I didn't tell her, I didn't recognize her. She said, "You remember my son?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess I'll lie a little bit. I don't want to make her feel bad." And she told me, "My son, you know, he was so athletic, and he worked out, and he had this amazing physique." And she said, "Suddenly he became ill, and he's wasted away. And all those years of exercise and healthy eating, and he's skin and bones. I don't know what happened. I don't remember who it is. I don't remember what happened in the end, Nebuch. But I was thinking to myself, so all that time put into bodybuilding, forget that in the other world, you know, the body doesn't last. In this world, Nebuch became ill, and it was all gone. It was all gone. But the time you put into studying Torah is never gone. Even if a person, God forbid, has Alzheimer's and doesn't remember, the time you put into Torah, studying Torah, is still not gone. The money you give to tzedakah, it's yours forever. Every single mitzvah you perform is yours forever. Nobody can ever take that away, ever. And that's the eternity we get from the Torah. So you have to understand this. And when you understand this, you know, make the wise investment. What do you want to spend your time doing? Amassing wealth, which is here today and very easily gone tomorrow? Amassing body mass, which can melt away in no time? Or amassing virtues, living what we came here to live for. And that's the le'olam le'eshkach. When we understand that, when we're mindful of that, how could you ever forget it? Kivam chiyusani. That's the source of life itself. So the pasuk now continues, l'cho ani. David HaMelech says, "I'm yours. I'm yours. Chayshieni." So God in Himmel, God, please help me. Because I'm looking for your commandments. That's all this is about for me. What does it mean? L'chani. So the Me'iri, Rabbeinu Menachem Me'iri says like this. Ki l'chani means, l'chani, I am yours. U'bacharto hadveikim b'cha. So I'm yours. I choose to be yours, but you choose those who cleave to you. And that's why, Hoshieni. It's not like I said, God, I'm yours, now save me. The Me'iri says, it's a perfect equation. L'cha ani, I'm yours, and therefore you choose those who choose you. So choose God, and then he has to choose you. So God, if you chose me, you're choosing me because I'm cleaving to you. Hashieni. So then help me out of the situation. Kifigodachodorashti, because that's the key. That's the because. In the Mitzvot David, it says, L'cha ani. He says something very interesting. He says, I'm yours. I'm yours means, Eini tuluyim elecha. I'm not looking anywhere else. I have no other expectations from any other force. Nobody else is going to save me. Who am I looking to? I'm yours. If I'm yours, if your children come and say, Mama, take care of me. I say, what do you want from me? Go to somebody else. I say, are you kidding? There's a funny story they tell of the phone rings. The lady picks up the phone. And her daughter starts kvetching and crying. And she says, this has gone wrong and that's wrong. I have two kids that are sick. My husband's not even coming home from work till who knows when. And the mother says, okay, relax, relax. I'm going to come over and I'm going to help you. And we're going to get through this day together. And she says, okay, I'll be over in 15 minutes. She says, 15 minutes, Mom? But you live only 5 houses away. So she goes, 5 houses away? Who are you? And he says, oh, I'm... I must have dialed the wrong number. So the girl goes, so you're not coming over? L'chani, I'm yours. If I'm yours, you got to help me. So the Mitzvah David says, Eini tuluyim elecha. I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm looking to you, L'hishieni. Ki dorashti lishmer pekudecha. Because I'm trying to keep your mitzvahs. It's like Rabbeinu Shalalem. I just want to keep your mitzvahs, okay? You wanted me to keep mitzvahs? I want to keep mitzvahs. Can you please enable me? Going back to the Rambam, we talked about this is the idea of when we do what Hashem asks of us, we can expect that Hashem will do what we require. Because, come on, God, you have to give me so that I can give you. I'm just trying to do what you asked me to do. But you have to give me the wherewithal, you have to give me the ability to accomplish this. The Ibn Ezra says, L'chani means, L'ois pikudecha, L'ois kishalchani. How do you prove? I'm yours, God. I'm yours. How do you prove it? Prove that I'm yours. I'll show you how I prove it, because I'm doing what you want. I'm committed to you. If I'm committed to you, so then obviously, isn't it clear that I'm yours, after all? In other words, people say action speaks louder than words. It does. I'm yours. Yeah, show me. I mean, I am. Keep kodecha d'roshti. Look what I do. I'm just looking for your mitzvahs. I'm not looking for anything else. In other words, it's the Sepharno says, I can even produce tangible evidence. And he says that here David HaMelech was referring to the concept of bris milah, which is literally, so to speak, etched onto the flesh. And this is the idea of pikudecha d'roshti. So when we live a life of actual Yiddishkeit, not theoretical devotion, I love to be Jewish, God. I'm proud to be Jewish. I want the Jewish people to live forever. So save us is a little different than saying, God, here's how I spend my life. Now, could you please help us? Like, I can tangibly demonstrate that this is what life is about for me. No, this is for you. It's for you. Like, you're the CEO of the company. I'm working for you. I'm your best salesman. Really? Yeah. Who is my sales? Who could produce sales like me? I did all these. So just give me that promotion. So I can keep serving you. And that's the message. This is the I am yours. Radak also emphasizes the idea. He says, L'chani, ki ein iski elo b'teraskho. It's not I'm yours sometimes. I'm yours, he says, is like almost like it's like a servant. A servant is not for the time of the employment. He's not an employee. Employee is 9 to 5. He says, I'm yours. I'm yours anytime. Rabbeinu Shalom, ein iski elo b'teraskho. And that's the meaning of ki pekudecha d'roshti. Radak says is, that's kipukudecha is singular, because the only thing that I seek out, I do lots of things in life, but what do I seek out? And seeking out is what emphasizes the purpose of life. Why do I live? Not what I do in life. Life is filled with all kinds of things. But what is the common denominator of all these things I'm doing? What am I doing them for? So darashti, to seek out, to be doidish, to investigate and seek out, says that's what shows what it's really all about. And as such, because David HaMelech says, this is what life's about, so I'm asking you that you should take care of me. Here's how the Medrash Tilim puts it. Omru Yisrael l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The people of Israel proverbially said to the Holy One, blessed be He, Yechayla hi para lachresh bebeiz nidin. Is it possible for a cow, for an ox, to plow two different furrows at the same time? Can it work for two different masters? The cow is saying, you asked me to plow. I'm ready to plow. But if you allow me to dedicate my time to you, I can dedicate my time to you. But if I'm busy staying alive, I'm busy nursing illness, chas v'shalom, I'm busy overcoming challenges and difficulties, then that's the master I'm serving. And that's what I'm doing all day. So that's what we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like this, evoking the idea of Kabbalah's oil, of acceptance of the yoke, which is also has the image of the cow or the ox. And that's what we're saying, L'cha ani heshieni. So because I'm to you, Le'yomarti kilib, did you not say, says the Medrash, kilib nei Yisrael avodim? Did you not say that the Jewish people are my servants? Did you not say, avodai heim, they are my servants? So l'cha ani, I'm yours, I'm your servant, I'm your servant, God. And therefore, heshieni. And that's also what it says later on, in the same psalm, it says, "Pedeni me'eshek adam, save me from those who might oppress me." Because, why? Because in the end, I'm all about being able to serve you. So this here is the emphasis, and that's how we follow up. We say, "Le'olam le'yashkach." I'm not going to forget it. Why? Because this is the ingredients that comprise life itself, and as such, we are yours. This is our life. This is what life's about for us. And because this is what life's about for us, we implore and beseech the Creator, give us what we need. Provide for us. Because when you provide for us, we in turn will be able to serve you. The Alter Rebbe once said, and it's brought down, the Rebbe brings down in Hayom Yom, that the Eibishter, the Creator, makes me'ayin yesh, from what we would call material nothingness, from theoretical reality. He makes a tangible world, and our job is to make out of yesh ayin. Our job is to turn the material, tangible, which necessarily, in a sense, creates a smokescreen, disables us from seeing the Creator, because that's the nature of worldly matters, that it's dense and it's earthy, and we see its tangibility, we don't see its spirit, we don't see its holiness, we don't see its godliness. But our job is to take the material world and to sublimate it, to modify it and to redirect it, so that in turn it becomes from yesh, ayin. And that's really what this is about. We're here to reverse the process. We're the original recycling. So we want to recycle everything in this world, bring it back to what it once was. And the Alter Rebbe also once said that the Torah mitzvahs is like the betrothal, like the ring with God betrothed us. And as such, he has responsibilities. He has to be a provider. But we have to provide also. We also have somebody to contribute. So as long as we will provide, he provides. And even if he isn't providing so much, we have to keep providing. And hopefully Hashem in turn will give us back in the fullest of measures. And this is what David HaMelech is saying in these verses, where he says, I'll never forget, because this is life itself. We're all yours, God. We're yours. Provide for us, save us, help us. In the end, all we're looking for is closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All we seek is to fulfill the shlichus, the mission that we were given, and to create a holy dwelling place for God in this world, which will be realized hopefully very, very speedily, and in our days with the coming of Mashiach, b'mheira, will be Amenu, Amen.